You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
This is the Game of Geeks podcast, your one-stop shop for news and reviews for video, card, and tabletop games, with your hosts CJ, Raul, and Brendan.
That's right, folks. Once again, it is time for the Gamer Geeks podcast.
Woo.
Episode number 8. We are recording January 15th, 2016. I am, of course, CJ, and joining me is the whole team once again, Raul and Delbert. How you doing, guys?
What's up, guys?
Yeah, doing good, and I just heard thunder. Delbert, thunder. Why is it every time I'm on a show with you, a storm seems to roll in?
Because the world is against me, apparently.
Yeah, last time it was, I think it was like the E3 coverage.
Uh-huh.
And storm came in and knocked out my power.
I'm just a bad news, apparently. I just bring the thunderstorms all in.
You know why he brings us up.
So how have you been, Delbert?
Been good, man. Been good. Got everything finally set up over here in my room, so it's actually nice and organized, so I actually can record, so it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's nice when you record, but it's even better when it actually works the way you want it to set up.
Yeah, for sure. I had some issues with some encoding yesterday. I finally managed to figure it out, but it took me like 4 hours to get it all organized.
Jeez.
Well, it was encoding everything properly, but it wasn't writing the XMP file right. So the final encoding was like a fraction of the size it should be, and I found out that apparently Adobe Premiere loves having super large file sizes.
Yes.
So yeah, so I had to actually like move my output file into my new hard drive, which I got the other week, and after I did that, everything worked out perfectly fine. So. Mm.
Yeah, it's always good to record onto a off hard drive that you're not hosting the OS on.
Yeah, my OS was on my 120 solid state, and I ended up buying a 3 terabyte on Amazon that was like $90, and I got it same day, so I finally moved everything over to that. So that's where all my encoding is going to be from now on.
I need to take a look at that one. I need to expand my storage.
I saw it and I'm just like, $90 for same day delivery for a 3 terabyte? I'm in.
You guys are lucky. Same day delivery. I'm still stuck with 2 day.
Oh, I know. Like, it was surprising. I saw it. I'm like, I have the Wikibuy extension for my Chrome, and it said you can get it $3 cheaper here, but you won't get it until the 22nd. I'm just like, nah. I'll take my same day.
Nice.
I went to work and came back and it was there. I'm just like, yes.
So we excited to talk about pretty much the only gaming news that kind of matters this week.
Oh, man. Nintendo.
Nice. On to the news!
Why do you do this to us?
Nintendo taking our wallets, raking us through the mud. Switch. So on Thursday, if you tuned into the Geek.io show live, we actually did live reaction to the Nintendo Switch announcement, since they were so kind to do it during our normal recording time. So thank you, Nintendo.
Talk about late. It was at 10 p.m. Central, 11 o'clock Eastern.
I know, I was really surprised.
It's 2 p.m., I believe it is, Japan time.
Well, yeah, but usually you make announcements like that. Most of the directs have been like 10, 11, 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, but most of those are pre-recorded.
True, and this was live.
This was live from Japan, so they're not going to hold it at like a midnight at Japan, because none of their awkward-looking Japanese businessmen would be able to be there.
Or they're...
Do it at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Or the bad translators.
Yes, I was about to say that. Oh, those translators were so bad.
Dude, they dropped the ball so hard on the Suda 51 translation.
Oh, man, that was bad.
That guy just like Rose. I'm just like, oh my god, my heart goes out to this guy.
Yeah, that guy's never working for Nintendo again. Like,
there was like 20 seconds of nothing. I'm just like, what do I say now? Crap.
He's just like, get a pseudo-son. Oh, poor guy. Like, I kind of feel bad for him, but at the same time, it's just like, all right, dude, you had one job, literally. And I'm fairly sure, especially for those ones, you had the script in front of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They're usually on the ball with translators.
Yeah, right? So, yeah, guys, we had this big Switch announcement, and it's all out there. It's all there. We're getting it Friday, March 3rd.
Yeah, a Friday. Usually consoles and games released on a Tuesday.
I'm actually surprised, too. I actually expected it to be later in March.
I was expecting it later in March as well. I was expecting it late in the month, but they're like, all right, March 3rd. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, seriously.
What else was there? Oh, the size of the console, the controllers seemed really tiny.
Yeah, they were small in a Japanese man's hands. I'm a bit concerned with how big they're going to be in my meat grinders, but
I was reading some of the footage from the coverage that the reporters did in the few events they did around the country.
Yeah,
and everyone said it was super comfortable. Like, it just seems weird the size, but everyone was like, they feel great.
Wow.
I mean, I'm good with that. So, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, my wondering is that with this, do they need a 3DS line anymore?
Yes and
no. Because, I mean, one, it's not a touchscreen, right?
Yeah, it does not have a touchscreen. And also, it is kind of a different market because the 3DS, I mean, if you're looking for a purely mobile experience, the Switch, we should probably get into that here in a little bit, though. Let's go ahead and get through the facts first, and we'll discuss the whole thing. Price point is $299.
Which is a great opening. Which is a great opening price on it.
Oh yeah,
about what I expected.
Yeah, I was expecting $250.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I expected $300 from the beginning. I knew Nintendo was trying to go a little bit heavier on their controls and their software or hardware rather. So I expected it to be a little bit higher than they usually did.
In the box, you'll get the console, of course. You will get the left and right Joy-Con, either in gray or in the red and blue cotton candy colors. You'll get the Joy-Con grip, so you can link them together and use them as one controller. You'll get the refurbished white Wiimote straps to attach to your Joy-Cons. You'll, of course, get your dock. You will get an HDMI cable and an AC adapter.
Hmm. On the Joy-Con straps, are the ones that they showed off, right? The ones that adds like probably like another like was it like quarter inch, half an inch to it, mm-hmm. and the strap. Can we talk about those Joy-Con controllers on how much tech is in them?
Yeah, man, they're insane. Like, you have a camera, you have the Amiibo reader in there, you have an accelerometer, Bluetooth. You have like everything in that tiny little controller.
Yeah, and can we talk about the price point for the controller?
Moving on.
I mean, to be fair, they do give you two technical controllers inside the box.
Yeah,
so you can do multiplayer right out of the box.
Yeah, it is $40 per Wii, or Joy-Con rather. So, I mean, $80 for both of them.
It's kind of a deal, but it's still a little hard pill to swallow.
Well, I mean, it's no worse than $60 for a PlayStation or Xbox controller.
True. Let's see, what else? USB-C.
Yeah. Nintendo going full Apple with this one.
Which gives me the thing that can you just hook up a battery bank to it and leave it charged and extend the hours on it?
I'm sure within a week there will be somebody there with an unlicensed item that I will buy, because the battery life on it extends anywhere from 2.5 to 6 hours depending on the game.
And I believe they said Breath of the Wild will be 3 hours?
Yeah. Breath of the Wild is looking at about 3 hours. With 1-2 Switch being a little bit long, with being closer to the 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Which basically means the AAA games are going to be on the lower end of that.
Yeah, because graphical processing and everything like that. Speaking of games, we got a whole lot of games. Whole lot of games shown, not a lot of release dates. We do have, on launch, we have 1-2 Switch, which is basically their Wii Sports for this.
Which, it doesn't look like it's going to be bundled.
Yeah, that's the weird thing, is it's not bundled. It's a little weird.
What did they have for the Wii U? What did they have bundled with the Wii U?
Nintendo Land.
Oh, Nintendo Land.
Yeah. By the way, Breath of the Wild also announced for the Wii U at the same release date. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe was announced, and its release date is 28 April. Super Mario Odyssey, which is holiday this year. Splatoon 2, which is holiday this year. Super Bomberman R is launch day, 3 March.
Not very many launch titles.
Surprisingly not. One thing that really weirds me out, Skyrim is not a launch title. It's coming out in April.
Hmm.
FIFA 18 is this year sometime. Games coming out this year, we have, games announced, Arcade Archives, release date TBD, ARMS, which is the game that they went pretty thoroughly into showing off the functionality of the Joy-Con.
That's not Spring. A launch title?
Nope, that is Spring.
Oh, wow.
A game called Constructor Cube Life. A game that I'm stoked about and already am on the review list for, because my fam at Nyssa loves me. Disgaea 5 Complete coming out in spring.
I saw that, Disgaea.
Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 by Holiday. Dragon Quest 10 and 11 packaged together, by the way, as it's been officially announced.
So is 10 the one that's already released and 11's the new one?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
Farming Simulator TBD, Fast DMX, or RMX, whatever the hell RMX is, TBD, Fire Emblem Warriors.
That looks so good.
Your Dynasty Warriors with your Fire Emblem. Oh my god.
That was the best combo that could have been made.
They also have Dragon Quest Heroes 2.
Yes, Dragon Quest Heroes also coming for the Wii U. Has Been Heroes, which looks fun, is in March. I Am Setsuna, I'm going to review that game later. Not for the Wii U, but hey. Coming in March, Just Dance 2017 is a launch title. Lego City Undercover is spring. Minecraft Switch Edition, which will be fun. TBD. NBA 2K18, TBD. Hold on. You guys ready for this one? Pokemon Stars, the third game in the Sun and Moon edition, Sun and Moon Generation, coming to the Switch sometime in 2017.
So that's been confirmed?
Yes.
So they're adding more Pokemon pretty much, right?
It's basically going to be kind of it's going to be their yellow, their crystal edition of Sun and Moon.
Yeah.
But man, that's going to be interesting. That's with the Pokemon Bank, it hasn't been released yet, right?
Not yet.
No, it's sometime this month.
Okay.
I think they said the last week of January is when they're doing the patch with the Pokemon Bank.
And you said they're going to patch in with Red and Blue, the digital download?
Yeah, they're going to patch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are going. It's been stated that Red, Blue, Yellow, the 3DS digital downloads will be compatible with the Pokemon Bank with this as well. Project Sonic 2017 sometime this year. Puyo Puyo Tetris, which is fun because I like the Puyo Puyo games and Tetris is always fun.
I've never played the Puyo Puyo games.
fun. They're a lot of fun, and Tetris is always good.
Yeah, Tetris.
Rayman Legends Definitive Edition, TBD. Game called Rhyme. A game called Seasons of Heaven, which I can only imagine is an angel cooking mama. Prove me wrong. Shin Megami Tensei is getting a new game, you guys. And I cannot be happier than that. Supposedly releasing this year, but
it's very early in development. So,
by the way it sounds like there's only going to be maybe 4 or 5 launch titles.
Launch titles, yes, but by time Q3 comes around, or Q2 comes around, you're going to have a lot more. There's a lot of spring games.
And then you have those companies that are waiting on, like, what is this? Yeah. How can we use this? But another reaction I have is, like, what's Sony and Microsoft going to respond to this? Because they came out with the motion controllers with the Wii.
Yeah, to come out with the Wii. Yeah.
Well, yeah. But what I'm saying is that they came out with the Wiimotes first. PlayStation came out with the Move controllers in response to that. And then Microsoft went in big into the Kinect. Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing, like, what are they going to respond with?
They don't need to. They haven't, like, all the launch titles. There's no launch titles coming to the Switch aside from a couple. All Sony and Microsoft have to do is continue bringing forward their titles that they already have planned.
Well, no,
I'm
talking about, like,
how many people are going to buy a Switch just for Breath of Wild when there is going to be Mass Effect Andromeda coming to every system?
Well, I'm not talking in the short term. I'm talking about, like, in the long term, in the next generation of consoles. Like, are they going to...
Scorpio,
yes.
Microsoft already has that planned. Sony's already got the PS Pro out. And who knows what Sony has in the pipeline.
The Vita 2!
I would hope. I love the Vita. The Vita's my
homeboy. Me too. I play the Vita every day. So,
I have two of them.
Shovel Knight is coming back, you guys.
Which one?
Shovel Knight.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Skylanders Imaginators. Whatever in the world Snipper Clips is.
The haircutting minigame, duh.
is in March. Whatever Sonic Mania is in spring. This is the... You ready to get Jared as a Vita to buy a Switch? Because Stardew Valley is coming to the Switch.
Oh, nice. I've got things to say about that.
Is that going to be on the same launch as the farming simulator? Because
it'll be packaged together. a game called Steep.
Oh yeah, that's the Ubisoft
the snowboarding
game.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
The weirdest game announced, in my opinion, Street Fighter II: The Final Challengers,
which is a retro fighting game for Street
which
Fighter.
Which is Street Fighter II.
Yes.
I'm confused as to why Street Fighter 2, but I will buy it.
They are trying
to
get
the eSports. I mean,
they could
have gone weird and gone Super Ultra Mega Ultra Edition.
Yeah. And Siberia 3. So, yeah, those are the confirmed games so far, but they've stated over 80 games are in development right now.
Wow.
How many of those come to actually market? We will find out.
Well, yeah. so, yeah, and if you can find them, pre-orders are open right now. However, literally every place is sold out of them. You can put your emails down for your information and attempt to get them, but it sounds like, Delbert, I think you and me are going to have to do a midnight release, my friend.
This is the first thing I thought of when I saw that headline. And
it's gone. Yeah, it's gone. Yep. So, hey, now, you want to hit up Largo Mall GameStop for midnight release?
You know, you have to get there like at 6, right?
Yeah. Like, I want to switch. But at the same time, the only thing that really... I mean, I want to play Breath of the Wild, but at the same time, Shin Megami Tensei is, like, the only game I really want right now. But they're all really good sounding, but Shin Megami Tensei.
Yes, but Delbert, come to Largo Mall with me to do the midnight release, so it's not me. I want somebody there with me.
Oh,
if
man.
I'm able, I will do what I can.
This is the reason why I only pick local people to me, so I can harass them about local crap on the air, so it's hard for them to duck out.
Can we talk about that game, that like the final game that they closed the conference with?
Breath of the Wild?
Yes.
Legend of Skyrim, Breath of the Wild.
Oh my god, that trailer is insane.
Like, it legit gave me goosebumps. Like,
I mean, it looks like, I mean, I'm not saying that Zelda games never had a story, but this story looks insane.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's going to be a more in-your-face story as opposed to the more muted ones that previous games have been, with the exception of games like, what's this stupid one with the stupid boat and its stupid face? Wind Waker.
Wind Waker. That was a great game.
No, it wasn't!
Yes, it was. Shut up, CJ. You're stupid.
Admittedly, I haven't played the HD version, so take that with a grain of salt. My opinion of it being a stupid game with a stupid face is because I played the GameCube one and hated it.
Yeah. I'm curious to see where Breath of the Wild falls in the overarching Zelda storyline.
It looks like, because he's wearing the Skylands outfit, so I think it's going to be right after Skyward Sword.
Yeah, it sounds like it. From what the trailer was saying, it was 100 years or something. So it might be after Skyward Sword.
It might be like a generation or two behind.
Because Skyward Sword is literally pretty much right at the beginning of the universe.
So it's really hard to tell. I know that storyline is entirely
Skyward Sword.
You need a degree in Zelda to know.
Yeah, right. Or buy that $100 gigantic freaking book that I want. But I'm not allowed to spend $100 on a book, the Hyrule Historia. If anybody wants to, geek-io.net/Amazon.
It's $100? I thought it's only like $20 or $30.
No, God, no.
No. Let's go over to geek-io.net/Amazon, where, you know, you can buy everything and a little bit comes back to us and doesn't increase your prices any. And we will look up Hyrule Historia.
I know the hardcover Skyrim book was $50, and that's just one game.
Now it's now it is you can rent it.
Textbook.
Yeah, it's labeled as a textbook, you guys.
Hell yeah.
I've got one here that says Legend of Zelda Hyrule Historia for $30.
Yeah, they it's $29.88 on Amazon, or you can rent it for $11.59. I'm still confused as to why.
Rent it, CJ. Do it.
I might rent it.
And then take pictures of every page.
Yeah. But, I mean, the graphics in that game just look, oh my god, like, Zelda looks gorgeous.
Yes.
Like, she looks, like, when she was crying, you could tell, like, it wasn't just pixelated. It looked like an animated character actually crying.
And I'm just thinking, like, what am I going to do? Am I going to get out of work and just go straight over to the store? And stand in line for 6 hours?
No, that's not what you're going to do. You're going to take the day off.
I get off at 5, so I'm going to go. I'm going to get off on Thursday. I'm going to go eat dinner, and then I'm going to go sit in front of GameStop.
You're doing it wrong. Take dinner to GameStop.
Yeah.
Dude, we live in Florida. There are bugs that will eat us for our food.
Is it that bad?
Yeah, it really is.
We live in the Australia of the United States, dude. One does not simply bring their food to a public place in Florida.
Then you're doing it wrong.
So, yeah, it's just... All right, so Breath of the Wild also... Raul? I forget the color sometimes. Raul has in here how much Breath of the Wild is going to take up of storage on you.
Oh, yes. It is going to take up a whopping, let's see, where's my doc? 13.4 gigs.
Yeah, it's not small.
But the thing is that the Switch only holds, I believe they have a 32 model with expanded memory. They said that on micro SD cards, it can go up to 2 terabytes, but the 1 terabyte micro SD card is not even out yet.
You would spend more on a micro SD card of that size than you would on the Switch itself.
Yes, yeah. But they haven't said anything about...
I'm probably just going to pick up like a 500 gig one and just go with that.
Yeah, but they haven't said if you're going to be able to plug in, like, say, an external hard drive to it. Or what?
I'm sure there will be hacks for it, but for the most part, it'll probably just be SDHC.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the 3DS.
Yeah.
I mean, SD cards are fine storage. I mean, that's actually a pretty decent storage type. So...
On the Wii U, it's going to be the same size, 13.4 gigs. It's just, that's a lot of gigs for it to be a download.
It's not big as a lot of games. Well,
no. For a game, it's a standard download, but for the hard drive to be so small, because the original, the Wii U was a 34 and a 64 gig? And then you've got the Xbox and PlayStation that they have terabyte drives in them now.
Now. But when they started, they were like 250 gigs with the max. And most games at that point were 30, 40 gigs, even now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, gigs. So. I've been playing GTA Online, and it's a 60 gig file.
Yep, I have, that's what's taking up most of my PS4 space is my PS5.
Hooray for a terabyte in my PlayStation 4.
Yeah. there was a big event in New York, or what was it called? New Donk City.
New Donk City.
As the internet is calling it. Because I think Reggie accidentally said New Donk City instead of New York City. there was a big event there, and pretty much everybody who had their hands on it liked it. I wanted to go. I had an invite to go, but... they did not give any kind of anything, so it was very expensive to get there.
Yeah, it's free to get in, and I would have first.
Yep, I would have had to. They for the press, you had to stay at a certain hotel, and of course, that hotel was exceedingly expensive. Of course, I had to get there, which is a plane flight, and it's New York City, which is expensive. So it was not really worth it for me to either go up there myself or send somebody there. However, patreon.com/geekio to help us be able to cover those kind of costs. I'd love to do something like that. I got an invite to CES this year. Couldn't go to that either because of stuff.
Indeed.
So, yeah, support us, y'all. Patreon.com/geekio. But other than that, anything else on the Switch? There was just so much to take in. There's so many good games. Not a ton of information as to like what we're getting right out the rip, which I think they were holding to their chest on purpose. I think they did that on purpose so that way they're under promising and over delivering.
I'm surprised that so much of it stayed secret too.
Oh yeah,
really hadn't though. A lot of it did get leaked.
Yes,
it's just people were on the fence about if it was true or not for the longest time. This has actually been like the leakiest year for Nintendo.
Yeah, but and I think that actually kind of hurt because their stock prices plummeted after the presentation.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So.
Didn't it go down after the Sun and Moon release as well?
Yeah, they did. That's actually pretty normal for Nintendo for some reason. Their stockholders are finicky for some reason. I'm not exactly sure why.
Japanese.
Yeah, exactly.
They're weird, so.
Because, I mean, all in any company, you have ups and downs. I mean,
yeah,
you have to be prepared for everything.
All right. So there was another event this last week that was a pretty major thing that did a great cause. What was that all about, Delbert?
So last week, the Awesome Games Done Quick Marathon for 2017 started, and they did fantastic. Yesterday, it was just afternoon yesterday when they broke $1 million for the Prevent Cancer Foundation. And when they ended today, they raised a grand total of $2.2 million.
Boom.
For cancer prevention. Like, in less than 24 hours, they raised more than they did the entire 1 week of the event.
Killing it.
And it's incredible what they were doing.
I wasn't able to catch the Undertale speedrun.
What was it? It said that they did really, it was a pacifist run. So it was one of the most popular. In fact, Toby Fox, the creator of Undertale, donated $10,000 himself.
Wow.
During the run.
That is really cool.
So yeah, they definitely did. They did fantastic.
I did see the Mega Man, I think it was X2 competition speedrun.
Mm-hmm.
They were all... I think they were like 4 seconds behind each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually in the middle of watching the Super Metroid run, and it's four people speed running it, and they are so close. And I'm like, I can barely beat this game in under 4 hours. How are these people aiming for an hour and a quarter? I'm just like, how are they doing this?
What was another one that I saw? Oh, the Shovel Knight. You were talking about Shovel Knight earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the thing is that there's some speedruns where they technically they break the game. They glitch the entire game to beat it. Yes, but then there's some games where it's not glitch. It's just knowing everything of this game. Like, I don't think they glitched Shovel Knight, did they?
I don't know. I didn't watch the Shovel Knight one. I don't remember. I've been trying to keep up on most of them, but I'm not really sure if Shovel Knight broke it or not.
The Metroid race is usually, as soon as you die once, that's it. You're out of the race.
Yep.
And I think last year for the summer one, I think it was down to like the last dude, the last speedrunner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were, from what I can tell, they're doing a 100% run on Super Metroid, and that means gathering every single power-up within the game, and like watching these guys, like having the different strats and everything, like it's incredible how deep these guys know this game.
Yeah, I mean, because they play, that's all they play. I mean, it's like they could do it blindfolded, which I think one or two people did play a game blindfolded.
There's a few marathons, speedrun that they've done where it has been blindfolded. I think there's one or two this year. It's all audio cues at that point.
Yes, I did see the Super Scope game, where he beat like the first two levels backwards using a mirror.
Mm-hmm. there's also a Super Metroid rotation where it actually like took the entire game and rotated it 90 degrees.
Oh.
It was incredible. They had to like, they were talking about how many times the creator of that had to hack the game a few times in order to change a few blocks in order to make it work. Like there were a couple spots where they were speed blocks, but because you were, you know, vertical now, there's no speed that you could do, so they had to change it into another type of block in order to break through it so they could continue the run.
Hmm. Interesting.
It was actually really impressive, yeah.
I love watching those events. Like, it is really awesome just watching the sheer amount of mastery that goes involved in that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something just I will never have.
You could if you chose one game and focused on that for the rest of your life.
No, I could not.
But that would require no more Switch for you. It was all just Super Metroid for the rest of your life.
Yeah. I'm okay without that. I'm all right without that. All right. So, good on them, though. I like I said, this is a great event to watch every year. And good on them for raising that much money. Like, that is really, really awesome.
Yeah, and it all 100% goes to charity.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I think what supports them are the sponsors, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, every cent that they raise during the event goes straight to charity.
And it's straight. It's a whole week of nothing but speedruns. Yep. It's like they're on
It was 200 speedruns over the course of the
200 speedruns, yes. You could tune in at 2 in the morning on Wednesday and you'd have someone playing.
And there's something.
Maybe 24 hours of sleep between everyone that went, maybe.
Yeah. And that's just it. These people showed up to do this event and they only played one game. So you only saw these names once in the entire week.
Yeah, right.
Because that's the only game they know how to play. But it's still incredible that people can actually get to this level.
Yeah, the organizers, man, the organizers have to be on top of all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, it's incredible. Super Metroid, the run that I'm watching, themselves brought in over $800,000.
Yeah, that's always really big because it's either you save the animals or you let them die.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the run that I've watched, I'm only like half hour into it. And that like number, those have switched like 4 or 5 times already. And they've announced it. Like 1 minute, one of them's up by like $30. The next time they mention it, the other's up by $1,200. And it's just back and forth. And it was, I mean, like I said, I'm only, I don't know, what is it, 20 minutes, half hour through it? Yeah, 35 minutes into the video that I was watching. So there's still another hour left.
All right. So let's go ahead and move on into the Blizzard corner, you guys. And it's been a pretty quiet week over in the Blizzard world. Raul, what you got for us?
I've got Blizzard in an attempt to make a more, what's the word? Not happy, enjoyable experience in Overwatch has banned 10,000 Overwatch accounts in Korea.
Die!
Yes, for what's called nuking, which is pretty much a DDoS attack on the servers, a denial of service attack. So yeah, yep. Blizzard is going all out against cheaters.
In a game like Overwatch, it makes sense though. That's actually like a PvP type that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, because
it's harder for them to keep it in WoW.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, right now, Overwatch is like, I want to say it's one of their hottest IPs right now, right?
Easily.
It's still not their most popular because Hearthstone still has that, but it is, I believe it's their second.
Yeah, and we're coming up on a year, and it's still quite hot still.
Oh, yeah. Even on console, which is where I'm playing most of it now, because, like I said, I'm actually enjoying the console like layout of the controller. And for some reason, I'm better at it on console than I am on PC. I have a much higher win percentage.
Get good, scrub.
Yeah, right? It could be just because I've almost a year on PC playing it. And just kind of converted that into skill on the PS4. But, I have a higher win percentage. And even then, like, the arcade mode, I only wait a couple of minutes for any given game. And if I'm going quick play, right in. So it's crap.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen on the pro level teams, they all mouse and keyboard. None of them have been on.
No. You don't controller and play pro. You don't do that. It's a simple.
No, you don't.
I wonder if they would make another category where it's like console only or something like that.
But you can still do mouse and keyboard on console.
Yeah, the Xbone has mouse and keyboard functionality.
Hmm.
And I think the PS4 does too. So you can get it in there and make it work.
I don't know, actually. I don't know if it does. I don't know. I haven't tried. Game.
Yeah, I haven't tried, but I'm pretty sure you can.
But yeah, it would be fun to see if they did a console championship of it, just to kind of remind people that, you know, it's not just scrubs who play it on console.
Yeah, because I mean,
but 9 times out of 10 it is.
Because there's some people on a mouse and on a controller that I mean, that can probably own PC players.
Oh yeah, like a really good controller person. I mean, the big thing about controllers is there's a level of responsiveness, not responsiveness, but accuracy that doesn't exist unless you are a micro player on the PC.
Yeah, and with most controllers on a console, is wireless. Like, it's not that much of a lag, but it's a little bit different than if you're actually attached to it with gaming mice. Correct. And the fact that you can actually adjust your DPI settings, you can get special keyboards, all that stuff.
Exactly. All right, what else we got?
We also have WoW patch 7.1.5 is now live, which introduces Mist of Pandaria time walking events.
About time.
The return of the Brawler's Guild. And something interesting called micro holidays.
Yeah, I was reading about those. Those still look really cool.
Yeah,
the Nighthold also get released too.
I think that was either that was the previous patch or the still coming up.
I'm just trying to coming up soon.
Yeah. I've been trying to stay current with Blizzard news, with WoW news in general, but it's just I just dropped WoW because it's just I don't have the same spark I had when I was playing, say, Wrath of the Lich King, Cataclysm, Mist of Pandaria even.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, Legion is a lot of fun. It's just, I don't know, getting long
into it. It's not as engaging.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
there's so many good games out now that it's hard to stick to a game for that long.
Yeah, I mean, it's just maybe because Warlords left a bad taste in my mouth.
Possibly. I think that's it. I think that Warlords was such a bad expansion that a lot of people, including myself, have a hard time getting back into it.
It was just short. It wasn't a bad expansion. It was a really good set of story, but it was unnecessary, is what I thought about Warlords. It was all like fan service, basically.
It's okay to be a critic, Delbert. They gave me a copy of it, and I was still kind of.
Well, no, like I said, I mean, I played Warlords all the way through, and the story was fantastic. Aside from getting to the whole like raid areas of it, the raids were terrible.
Yeah,
I mean, the fact that they brought back like characters that, I mean, I'm glad that they ended Garrosh when they did, and not have him become a second, you know, major enemy boss.
Nelfalos again.
But at the same time, like, there was no need to go back in time and retcon everything and try to make things work again. It was literally a fan service expansion.
Yeah.
Trying to get people back into playing with Durotan and all the other major characters from Warcraft 2 and 3, like people that fell in love with those characters. That was the entire point of Legion.
Wait, a Legion or Warlords?
Oh yeah, Warlords, sorry. And then they decided to like retcon all of that anyway by murdering literally everybody with Legion.
Yeah. Everybody dies.
What's that? You just spent a year and a half saving all these people? Too bad. They're dead.
Yeah, they killed two major characters.
Yeah, within the first 5 minutes of the expansion.
Is it okay for spoilers real quick?
Are
we far enough along?
WoW lore spoilers.
Give me like five.
Go back in like 5 minutes.
Okay. All right. Poor Vol'jin wasn't even War Chief for one expansion.
No.
Barely for one expansion.
That was the worst part.
Considering I love him and just seeing him die, I was just like, man.
And he just kind of like, eyes open, just like
balls.
Dead now. Yeah. Varian died like a badass.
Of course.
Varian went down like he should. I mean, I was never a hugest fan of Varian, especially as a Horde player, but like he died like the hero he deserved to be.
Tyrion, just, that was a terrible death. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he deserved more than that.
Yeah, Tyrion's death was just, oh.
I think that was just there to, like, screw with you and make you feel like, yep, everything you do sucks.
Yep.
So, have they said who the final boss is? Is it Gudan or Sargeras?
No, I believe I heard 7.2 or 7.3. We're going into Sargeras. We're going after, we're going into Argus.
Yeah, going into Argus, but I would imagine that it's not, you're not fighting Sargeras in this one because that's an ultimate boss. I would imagine going after
we might fight him. I mean, yeah, I mean, we might go after him because there's still the old gods we don't even know about yet.
No, they're
so Sargeras
dead, aren't
is the
they?
Major boss, but
uh oh, aren't the old gods dead? Not the old gods, the Titans.
Of them.
Yeah,
most we don't know about all of them.
The old gods you still have. It'd be kind of fun to see the Hearthstone ones come into WoW.
The only one we haven't seen is Nizoth, unless there's another one I know of. Because I know there's one that was on the other side of the world that nobody managed to find.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm not talking about the old gods. I'm talking about the Titans, because aren't the Titans dead?
They disappeared, to my knowledge. I think a couple of them were killed, but most of them, I guess, went into hiding.
Yeah, because I think...
I still have my theory that Alexstrasza is the ultimate evil. That is still my theory.
Oh, she's talking gone. About dragons, Ysera.
That's part of that's still leading into my theory. She's gonna gather too much power. She's already has on camera the power of three of the aspects.
How does she have three?
Yeah,
Malagos and Deathwing. She absorbed powers, and that's not saying that because her and Ysera weren't close that Ysera couldn't have put her power into Alexstrasza.
I don't think she's going to be an ultimate evil, but she's definitely going to be on the precipice, being able to do whatever she wants.
Too much power. I think it's going to be one of those absolute power corrupts, absolutely kind of things.
With great power comes great.
Do you think we're going to go back to Northrend with Boromir? Bovar.
You have to eventually.
Bovar.
Eventually,
sorry.
But yeah, not for a while.
Sorry.
Well, I don't know if it says they're at this point just kind of cycling the same pattern again. I mean, Northrend's going to be the next expansion if they do the same thing.
Well, that's if there's anything left after this war.
Right? All right. So then let's go ahead and keep moving on here. Let's go ahead and move into the deck list segment. We're talking about our tabletop board and card games. This week, my friends, the Pokemon TCG, it's still alive, and there's a humongous following still around.
There's still a pro circuit on it, isn't there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, there's still, like, the TCG still has a massive world championship circuit, like, that still attracts. Like, there was the Georgia State Regionals was last weekend, and they got 178 people in there. And that's just for a state final. Like, that's just one state.
Yeah.
And it's like a mix of people, right? It's just not like...
Oh, yeah. They actually had to separate it out into a junior league and a senior... what do they call it? The Pokemon Champion League.
That makes sense.
Because there were too many... Because there were too many kids and they're wiping the floor with adults. And I'm not joking. That's the reason why it got split. Is because too many kids beating adults and the adults got hurt.
Butt hurt.
And, yeah, so they're like, all right, so we're going to separate this out and we're going to have two. And, yeah.
Do you think it's because the younger players just do things that the older players don't see coming?
It's that, and also it's just exactly. I mean, the older players are too busy, you know, trying to think of strategies, and the younger players are like, all right, my Nidoking hits for 120 points with a two damage with a two energy attack.
Not to mention the adults probably have months and months and years of experience with tabletop games like that. Whereas kids are like, I have an awesome deck. I'm going to murder you all. And that's what happens.
Well, okay. I've been playing Magic since 1994. Me and my kids recently started playing Pokemon. And I built me a deck that I thought was actually pretty strong, pretty decent. I built my Sun, apparently an unbeatable Stunlock deck.
Nailed it.
Because I've played him four times and have not beaten him any because he gets his freaking Magnemite out, just sits there and paralyzed. All right, I'm done.
Sucks to be you.
I can heal. I can only heal paralyzed so many times, and then I just end up decking because he's like, all right. He looked at me last time. He goes, okay, Daddy. So here's what's going to happen. I'm just going to keep paralyzing you. Do you have any way of stopping it? I go, I've already stopped it. He goes, so do I win? I go, you win. Yay! Woo!
Yeah, I've seen some Magic the Gathering pro level games, and it's just like, pa, 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 and then
yeah, and AJ's response concede. To that, by the way, was, okay, I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed now. Bye.
Gee, thanks, kid.
26-year-old. But yeah, like, yeah, the adult players just sit there and try to think of, like, interactions between cards, and, like, the kids are just like, I'm just going to pick my favorite Pokemon.
Yeah, like, and all the kids AJ are probably Johnny's, right? Jimmy's, no.
Yeah. Timmy's.
Timmy's.
Yeah, it's like, he's like, I just want an electric deck because I got him the Suicune and Pikachu Libre trainer deck for his birthday. Nice. And like, he's like, all right, I want to build a lightning deck. I'm like, all right, because we got him, Santa brought them the trainers collection things that were just released with the evolution set. And he's like, all right, I want to build an electric deck. I'm like, yeah, cool. Okay, cool. I built him an electric deck that apparently is nigh unbeatable.
Surprise.
Yeah, right. I'm like, geez, all right, fine. But so we have coming up on the next set is, of course, Sun and Moon. It is beginning the Sun and Moon series, so it is titled SM1, which is a great great title for a set, by the way. It's coming out February 3rd, 2017, so that means the pre-release will be the weekend before then. And, of course, it is going into the Sun and Moon, and they've revealed some of the cards that are coming out. Lunala GX, which has a great power to be able to transfer your psychic energy around and then beat down for a four psychic energy attack. Of course, you have the Alolan type, so like your Alolan Persians and things like that, that only can evolve, like the evolve forms can only evolve from the Alolan type. So you can't evolve an Alolan Persian from a regular Meowth and vice versa. You can't evolve a regular Meowth into an Alolan Persian.
Man, it's been a while since I've seen like Pokemon cards, and they're amazing.
Oh yeah, the art got real good on these a couple of sets back.
Like the GX one, the Zagoose, I think what it's called. The one at the very bottom there.
Oh, Gumshoes?
Yes. That one's full 3D render, right?
Yeah. And those who have been following it, I mean, Alolan Persian is actually kind of ridiculous for his power level. Clawrend. Taunt is just being like, all right, cool. So I'm just going to take one of your Pokemon and just switch it out because F you, that's why. And Clawrend, if your opponent's active Pokemon has already taken any damage, this does 30 extra damage for only one dark energy.
What? Huh?
Yeah, so 60 damage use magic terms here. That is 60 damage for one mana.
Let me see if I remember correctly. Hacks. For the Pokemon game, you attach your energy to them, right?
Correct, yeah.
So, and it stays on them throughout the game unless something changes, right? Oh, you swap them out, you have to drop an energy, right?
Yeah. Or if something says destroy that.
Yeah.
But
damn. 60?
Yeah. Solgaleo, GX, Cosmomum, stay in the bag, Nebby.
Get in the bag.
Is actually in the game. His ability Ultra Road, once before your attack Once on your turn before your attack, you may switch your active Pokemon with one of your edge Pokemon. So just swapping out for free, which is always nice. And the abilities can be activated even from the bench. Sun Steel Strike. 2 steel and 1 energy, or 1 normal energy. 230 damage.
Only?
Yeah, you discard all the energy from your Pokemon, but, you know, 230 damage.
That's going to obliterate anything, isn't it?
Pretty much. I mean, Solgaleo himself only has 250 HP. So if it's Solgaleo versus Solgaleo, I mean, that's just... That's a fact, and then your Pikachu can kill it off.
Yeah, just bend over. It's fine.
Yeah, but look at the Solburst GX. His final ability.
Yeah, the Solburst. Yeah, because for one energy, I can just grab 5 of them and attach it to any Pokemon.
Including him, right?
Yeah, including him. So you can get enough to Sunburst Strike, and then the next turn, Solburst GX, and then Sunburst Strike, or Sunsteel Strike again.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You can only do one attack. You can only do one.
Yeah. You can only use GX abilities one per game.
Oh.
And you can only choose one GX. So if you have both Solgaleo GX and Gumshoes GX, you can only use their ability once. Lunala GX, Moongeist Beam for 4 mana is 120 damage. The defending Pokemon cannot be healed during your next turn. And... because why not? Lunar Fall GX for 3 psychic energy, knock out one of your opponent's basic Pokemon that is not a Pokemon GX.
What?
Oh, game. That's so cute. Bye.
Oh, it's adorable, Dad.
That Mewtwo back there is real cute. It'd be a shame if something happened to it. Gumshoes GX, which of course evolves from Young Goose. The GX ones are special, by the way, for those who don't know. They're really strong, obviously, but if they get knocked out, you get 2 prize cards from them. You have to, in Pokemon, you have to get 6 prize cards, and if you knock out a GX, it counts for 2.
Those prize cards are random cards you pull from your deck.
The 6 top cards from your deck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. After you draw your beginning hand is the 6 top cards of your deck. There will be a Gamer Geeks tabletop on Pokemon sooner rather than later. Young Goose's ability is search the premises once before your turn, before your attack. You may have your opponent reveal their hand, which is incredible. Having hand information is always useful. Like,
yes.
All right, so I know that you have an ability to heal my Headbutt Bounce for 100 damage with no problem. So, yeah. I'm going to then Gumshoe Chance GX, which is a 1/1 normal type, does 50 more damage. Does 50 more damage times the amount of energy attached to your opponent's active Pokemon. So if they have 5 energy attached to them, Solgaleo EX, you can smack them for 250 damage.
Oh man.
Dead.
This game just seems so ridiculous.
It is, but it's still actually like barrier for entry for this game is not that high though. Like, because they do a really good job at keeping up with a constant rotation of cards. Because I mean, it's designed for kids, so you have to keep the you have to keep things flowing and keep things being interesting for the kids.
So the aftermarket. Yeah, the aftermarket is not as bad, right? As Magic, right?
Yeah, it's not. You can buy a competitive deck for $50. You do have the cards like you have some of the Omni staples like Shaymin EX that are incredibly expensive. But other than those, yeah, like a competitive deck is $50 if you're not going to full art or foil out your deck. So, I mean, it's still good. I mean, and the tournament scene is great. Your kids, if you have kids or younger siblings or anything like that, XY Evolution or XY Generations Evolutions just came out, which is literally reprinting the first 2 sets of Pokemon.
Of course. Why not?
So, you have your OG Charizard and your fat Pikachu.
your original Charizard that used to be $50?
I think it's up to like $4,000 now.
Easily.
Oh.
It was like $400. Yeah, it was like $400 for original, and that was like 20 years ago.
Yeah, Ancient Mew is, I think, $12,000.
Doesn't surprise me.
Ancient
but
Mew?
That is Ancient Mew, the one that was I think it was a McDonald's promo back
no,
in the day.
No. I remember correctly, Ancient Mew was given out at the Pokemon movie, at the second movie.
Yeah, that was the first one, and I had four of those. Wait. And I sold them for some magic cards.
Wait, wasn't the first one the Mewtwo one?
That was Mew versus Mewtwo.
Yeah, and then which card was given out for
it was for the Lugia Raikou. One. Not Raikou, the Fire Dog.
Oh, that's the second one. Which is the one with the three legendary birds in Lugia?
That's the third one. I only know this because my kids are super into watching it now, and they love the movies. So
yeah, the last Pokemon movie I watched, I think, was the X and Y one.
Yeah, the X and Y one's really good. They have the Hoopa movie out now, and it's a lot of fun. Hmm. It's still just Pokemon, but hold on. What is it? Oh, okay. Rachel found a thing that she was looking for.
Nice.
Found it. Yay.
In their box, which is where it belongs. So let's go ahead and move on into the reviews.
Time for reviews.
And reviews, of course, are what we do when we're reviewing games. So I, as always, and because I feel self-important sometimes, I want to go first. So I was looking around for a mobile game to play because I like playing at least one mobile game a week. And I found this game called Castle Creeps. I'm a huge tower defense game fan. Huge tower defense fan. And I'm like, all right, free tower defense game. This is probably going to be horrible. I was expecting ads and all this bullshit. No, sorry. All this free-to-play garbage.
Shenanigans.
And it's pretty good, you guys. It is still kind of pay to win unless you don't want to just keep grinding because you could just buy gems, which, of course, you can translate into chests, which then can increase your towers, and then that makes things go easier. I've only spent $5 on the intro pack because I'm still okay with supporting. And also, given the fact that there's very few of the free-to-play shenanigans in this.
I mean, if gameplay is competent and fun to play, it's an okay free-to-play game. But if I have to drop $50 on this game to be fun, then it's not a great game.
It was fun before I spent the $5 on it. But the $5 is their you know, intro pack where you get this, you get the unique thing that you can only get from that, and you get a bunch of the stuff. And from that, I've just pretty much just ran with it from there. And like, you only get ads if you lose a level a certain amount of times, and they're like, hey, if you watch this ad, we'll give you more mana to spend on towers in the next level.
More stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I can't argue with that too much. There's no other ads other than that. Like I said, it's just the power creep happens real fast. So at that point, it's just like it's just kind of wearing you down to the point where I can either grind these previous levels until I have enough material, or I can just drop another $20 on the game to power up my towers, which I haven't done. But it's a lot of fun. I know it's on Android as well. It's free to play. I'm giving it a 3 out of 5 because it does feel, like I said, it gets frustrating fast.
Yeah.
But if you like tower defense games like I do, for free to play tower defense, it's more than competent. It's really good. My 60-minute review this week is going to be Deus Ex Mankind Divided on a PS4. I got this for Black Friday and finally started playing it. And anybody who doesn't know, it's your basically Splinter Cell crossed with Assassin's Creed, crossed with cyborgs, crossed with RPGs.
If you don't know what Deus Ex is by now and you're watching the stream, you really need to get your...
Yeah,
stuff together.
Favor and pick up Human Revolution. You don't need to play the other Deus Ex games. Just pick up Human Revolution. It's like $5,
and it's really good.
Probably one of my favorite. It's certainly one of my favorite stealth games in the last decade. And I've played a lot of stealth games. I love stealth games. I will buy bad stealth games just because they're stealth games.
Although the director's cut of Human Revolution did a lot better with that.
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
The original one was terrible. I hated it.
From what I gathered of the Wii U version, if you have a Wii U, pick it up for that. Like, they do some pretty cool stuff with the touchpad.
Nice.
But I'm not super far into Mankind Divided. I've played a little bit over an hour, but you know, because it's a marketing thing. Oh, I have coined this phrase, 60-minute review. The stealth is really well in it. The AI is still kind of dumb. Like, if you do a thing in a restricted area and then leave the restricted area, they'll come to the very edge of this restricted area and just stand there.
That's what I would do.
It's like, all right, so I'm just going to wait for your timer to reset and you to turn around, and then I'm going to snap your neck.
Hashtag
and
boss.
I mean, they do a lot of either you can go in and not kill anybody, or you can go in just guns a blazing. And I like when I'm given the opportunity to stealth in a game, I'm going to, but I still have my shotgun with me just in case.
Just in case.
Gotta have the shotgun.
I mean, I'm going to bring my sniper rifle with me, and that's what I'm going to operate 90% of the game on. But when I run out of ammo for it, or if I just get into, if I forget to check my six and a guy catches up on me, shotgun, boom.
Blah.
We're doing this.
Leroy.
Exactly. So I'm going to give it a, I'm going to actually, I put down 3 out of 5. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. Because like the more I'm thinking about it, the more I just want to be playing it right at this very moment. It's going to be the game that I'm going to be streaming here because I keep getting requests to stream more games. So I think I'm going to hit up Mankind Divided and do some streaming on it. Gave it a 3. I'm going to up it up to a 4 because it's so much fun and it's so good. Like the controls are fluid. The storyline is great. The voice actors are really good. And Adam Jansen, your character is, no matter what, is the biggest badass there is, no matter what place he's in.
Really? Always.
And my final game, I'm going to do second coin phrase, which is the opposite of the 60-minute review, the final review, where I've covered this game a couple of times, and I finally finished it. And this is the last time I'm going to talk about it. This time around, it is I Am Setsuna for the PC. I finally got around to finishing this game, you guys. It's not because it's a long game, but it's because it was real hard to keep my attention on it. It has so much potential, and if they just gave more, just like something to it, it would be so great. But they don't have any support for it because for some reason it lost the company like a lot of money. So it's basically been abandoned. And because of that, some of the glaring flaws are just not there. Like sometimes you'll hit your momentum button to do your momentum breaks and it just won't work.
Oh.
Even so though everything is right, it just stops working. The game will literally just stop moving for minutes at a time. And then everything will happen at once.
Oh, that kind of.
So there are some pretty glaring flaws in it, and they're not patching it anymore. And the ending just kind of happens. And I did some research on it, and there's no way to not get that ending.
Oh.
So yeah.
So it had great promise. It needs to be sold to a competent developer, right?
Fan support, since it's made with the Unity engine, there's some fan support trying to get some mods and stuff into it, but they've had little to no success on that because the game just didn't sell as much as they wanted to. So you have some diehards that like hacked some of the music and fixed some of the frame rate issues, but other than that, I'm gonna give it a 2 out of 5 for my final review on I Am Setsuna for the PC. I'm not picking this up for the Switch, nor would I pick it up for the PS4. If you're really desperate for a pretty good sounding shell of what Chrono Trigger was, here you go. But I can't recommend buying it unless you can pick it up on like super big sale. Like if you can hit it for like $5, go for it. But so even for 20, I can't recommend it.
Would you pick it up on Switch if they had another company take it over?
All right, Raul, what you got?
Okay, so I finally pulled the trigger and I picked up Stardew Valley. Hello?
Oh, there we go.
Okay. So I finally pulled the trigger and I picked up Stardew Valley.
Yay.
It is so much Harvest Moon. It's PC version of Harvest Moon, but it's just, oh my God, so much better. They fixed, there's like certain little things that I just love that it has. It has your energy bar. In the original Harvest Moon, it just had like, when you started getting exhausted, you would just fall down. You couldn't be, you had to always lay your, huh?
I hated that, by the way.
Yeah. You always had to plant your seeds because you had to plant them in groups of 9. You would always lose one because if you didn't, you couldn't water the middle one. In this one, you can, and you actually lay down seeds individually, so you don't lose that one to like, oh no, I wasn't in the very middle, I was off to the side, and you lose 3 seeds.
Yeah, you're explaining the reason why I hated Harvest Moon.
Yeah, Stardew Valley is just, oh my God, and from what I've read of it, there's no like, there's an end, but there's no ending. You can pretty much go on forever in it. And I haven't even gotten out of the first month yet, but I can already tell. When I first started it, I think it was like on Friday. And I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to open it up. I'm going to see what it is and all that. 45 minutes later.
Oh, crap. I don't remember what I was going to. Oh, no, I talked about this last week. Never mind. I wanted to talk about Mighty No. 9 while Raul was on the trip.
Let me get to Mighty No. 9, but let me finish this.
I'm going to let you finish, but Mighty No. 9 isn't as bad as you think.
Okay, so Stardew Valley. I played it earlier today, and like before I knew it, it was like 3 hours later.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, and the built-in story, I believe it's made with RPG Maker. And it is so great. There's fishing.
By one guy.
Oh, wow.
By one guy.
And it has everything. It even has the little magical creatures that Harvest Moon had, like the pixies. And Stardew Valley, it's going to get a 4 out of 5 from me. I just really enjoy that game. Next game I played, I picked this one up on sale. Ruby Grim Eclipse.
Oh, yeah.
Which.
My first game reviewed on the show.
Yeah. So I like, okay, it's on sale. I'll pick it up. It's a great game. It doesn't do anything new. It felt like a. How do I put this? I don't want to say a proof of concept, but like a prototype game, I guess what I want to say.
Yeah, I mean, you could say proof of concept, and nothing wrong with that. It does feel like that. It did feel worse when I was playing it because I got the greenlit like super alpha edition.
Mm-hmm. It does have this. It has a similar combat to how the Arkham games went.
Yeah,
but it's not as smooth because the window to actually trigger the combo is super small.
Yes.
And it does get frustrating at times. Some of the enemies are a little bit Dark Souls-y, where it's like hit, run away, roll, dash, and then you hit, and then run away. Sometimes I found I would play Ruby, and her long-range attack, you just hold that down, and it just whittles most enemies down.
Yeah, she's still a little unbalanced.
Yeah, Ruby Grim Eclipse gets a 3 out of 5 from me.
Okay.
Not saying it's a bad game, but it wasn't a great game. But it's just.
I'd love to do multiplayer with you.
Oh, we might have a video there.
I would absolutely love to get that in there because, I mean, yeah, I've heard when I played it at PAX East last year with the creators of it, it was a lot better in multiplayer than in single player.
Well, they add more enemies, right? Or do they keep the same?
They keep the same, but they amp up. It's kind of like Diablo, the old school Diablo way of doing things, where it's the same amount of enemies, but the difficulty is increased a bit.
Oh, okay. All right. And I think you get, like, the team attacks, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, next game I picked up, Goat Simulator. I think I picked it up for, like, $2 or $3.
Yeah.
It is such a ridiculous game that it's, like...
It's so pointless.
Yeah, I played
for... You're a goat.
I know. I'm a goat, and I smash things. I played it for maybe 30 minutes, maybe 45, and then I'm done. It got old really fast. Because you can only do it for so long, and then it's just like, eh, okay.
It's one of those games where you just play when you're bored for like half hour or drunk or, you know, whatever.
Hmm.
Boot up, go blow up the world, and then be like, all right, I'm going to bed.
Goat Simulator gets a 2 out of 5 from me. And that's it for my reviews. Delbert?
All right. Yeah.
So aside from continuing my Diablo 3 Let's Play that I mentioned in my last week, I've been playing a little bit of Kerbal Space Program.
Kerbal.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I played a little bit of the sandbox mode, and then I decided to start doing the actual like story career mode, and it's surprisingly complicated. It requires a lot of thought into it. And unfortunately, it's not one of those games you can do while drinking.
Is it like one of those games where you actually need to know like rocket physics?
Basic rocket physics, yeah. You have to know aerodynamics and how to like control things a little bit. It's the controls change a lot moving from like building your rocket to flying it. So, like, you can build a great, amazing rocket, and then when you get to the launch pad, it just falls apart because you don't have the right, you know, struts holding it together. You don't have the staging proper. It's really in depth.
Sounds like work.
It is, but at the same time, when you finally land on a moon, like, it's incredible. Like, you feel like you actually accomplished something, even though you put this little like green guy with zero range of motion onto another planet.
CJ doesn't also, like work.
Also, it's really funny because one of the main Kerbals that you can use is a pilot named Jebediah, and like when you launch him into the sky, like his face is just so incredible. He's just like, ah, yes, I'm flying, woo! And I'm just like, oh, this is great. Meanwhile, anyone else you put in that cockpit doing the exact same rocket is like, I'm gonna die. So I'm just like, this is great. But yeah, it's definitely a
never installed, by the way.
Yeah, I watched a couple YouTubers do it, and I'm like, I can do this. No, I can't. So... but even still, even not really knowing anything about it, playing it for a few hours, I still give it a 4 out of 5 because it's definitely one of the better games that I've picked up on Steam in the last few months.
One thing I would love to see is actual rocket scientists playing this game.
Yeah, right.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, a YouTuber by the name of Scott Manley is actually a rocket scientist, and he plays that game religiously.
It's also a great game to play. A great but name.
It is. Yeah, he does. He does all of the space simulators. So I watched it up on his channel. He does Star Citizen and Real Elite Dangerous and Kerbal, and so he's just all in there. I'm just like, oh,
that's cool.
It's pretty awesome. So I definitely recommend looking into him if you haven't actually looked at him. Shameless plug, even though I have no idea who this guy is.
Now it's time for our retro review, where we take an old game and talk about it like it was new. And this time around, it is my turn. And continuing my trek through the Mega Man Legacy Collection, time around, it is time for Mega Man 2, aka the game that made Mega Man famous. So last time I covered Mega Man 1, I was complaining that none of the features that I remember in Mega Man games were there, and I realized that all of them were put in there with Mega Man 2.
Surprise.
With the exception of like the Mega Buster and things like that, which I knew came later, but like sliding and everything like that, and proper enemy progression and real and realistic, you know, enemies that aren't super stupidly difficult. Yeah, all those are Mega Man 2. So
should I skip Mega Man 1 and just go into 2?
Oh god, yes. 1988 Mega Man 2, originally out on the NES, is of course platformer shooter. Pick it up again on every system known to man right now has the Mega Man Legacy Collection on it. It is absolutely worthwhile to pick up. Everything that I remembered for Mega Man, what made me fall in love with the entire series, that Mega Man is still my favorite character of anything ever, like, came from this game. And the villains are great. You get your first taste of Proto Man. You get your first taste of plot, really. You get a kind of an explanation of what's happening with Dr. Wily, who he is, why he just wants to rule the world. It's just genuinely a good game. And it was so much fun and so much enjoyment going back through and playing it again. So if you're picking a Mega Man Legacy Collection, just hit up 2. Don't bother about 1.
Sounds about right.
Next time around, I will do Mega Man 3. Spoiler! Yay! My retro reviews are going to be very linear for a while. As I am currently working my way through the Legacy Collection.
Yeah. So I have the Legacy Collection on the PS4, and I got as far as the Yellow Devil. I think that's what his name is.
At that Yellow Devil, man.
And every Mega Man game has the same layout, right? It's like opening stage, bosses, final level, boss rush, and then the final boss, right?
Yep. Mega Man 1, I kind of did that a little bit differently, where they didn't have a beginning stage and you just kind of went in and killed things and then went in and fought Dr. Wily and his bullshit. Crap. Shenanigans.
Ah.
All right. So let's go ahead and wrap up here, you guys. You can reach us, of course, at geekioshow@gmail.com. Go ahead and put Gamer Geeks in the subject line. Our Twitter and Facebook are both /geekioshow. You can give us a call. Leave us a voicemail over at 727-489-4335. That is 727-489-GEEK. For that one guy who keeps calling wondering why I don't pick up the phone, it's because that line is not monitored. You should stop doing that and actually give me some kind of constructive thing. You can support this show and the entire network over at patreon.com/geekio, which has our master feed, and a whole lot more, our private Slack channel and everything. Really cool stuff over at patreon.com/geekio. Of course, you can head over to our YouTube channel, which is blowing up, over at youtube.com/geekioshow for our Tabletop Gamer Geeks, which is mostly weekly. This show, our regular show, and every single other, including rebroadcast of Let's Plays, and everything like that. Of course, we have our Mana Pool Dungeons and Dragons Live Play podcast. First recording session is in the record books. First episode is getting ready to launch probably next Wednesday. And yeah. And we have a second recording session coming up here soon for that one. Twitch.tv/GeekIOShow is, of course, our Twitch channel, where this and every other thing that we're trying to do is for gaming goodness. Geek.io shows Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Small Screen Spoiler Show is coming back later in January, where Jared Azevedo and myself talk about your favorite television shows. Anything else before we play the lullaby and head on out of here, you guys?
Don't we got an R&R this week?
We do. We're doing Alice Through the Looking Glass. the new movie, Alan Rickman's last movie.
Wait, Through the Looking Glass is the second one, right?
Yes.
Do I need to watch the first one or no?
Probably not. Okay. I've not actually watched the second one. I like the first one. So, I mean, it's enjoyable.
All right, I'll watch it as a standalone movie. See,
there you
if,
go. I think it's worth a watch.
All right, I'll give it a try.
When Johnny Depp starts dancing, that's the only really part that I can't stand. But other than that, Johnny Depp dances like a white dude. Other than that, on that note, folks, we will see you right here next week with more Gamer Geeks. Good game.
GG.
Have a good one, guys.
This has been a Geek.io Media Network production. Copyright 2017.
Bloggy, blog, blog.
Blogger, 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 blogger.